To mark this year's First World War centenary, Suzy Radio now presents A Village at War, the story in 8 episodes of Newdigate in Surrey during the conflict, written by John Colcutt. Episode 3.
My dear friends, everyone will feel the deepest sympathy for the Miss Tylers who have lost, at the front, a brother, Alfred, and a nephew, Albert, on 2 consecutive days. We do not grieve for those who have gone, for they are, we are sure, much better off. They were fighting in a just cause and have laid down their lives for our sakes. Surely we must say, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We do grieve, most sincerely, for his friends and trust that God will give them strength to bear this great trial which he has laid on them.
Within the village, various organisations and classes were being arranged. Dr. Robertson was teaching principles of first aid. Some of the ladies in the needle class were working more than 8 hours a day making articles to send to the soldiers and sailors. The useful service brigade was drilling vigorously, and a volunteer training squad was also doing valuable work. A drum and fife band was being formed under the direction of Mr. Headland, following an enthusiastic meeting at the school on November the 19th, and Mrs. Winfield was collecting bandages, pillow slips and linen to send to Calais. It was reported that Lieutenant Broadwood was making good, though slow, progress towards recovery. A collection of books was being organised for prisoners of war at Derberitz Camp, the collection points being the post office or Mr. Dean's store.
Christmas came with, as yet, few signs of wartime austerity. Shops were filled with goods and food was plentiful. This was the landmark that everyone had looked forward to in August. It will be over by Christmas. The war was just beginning.
My dear friends, we must all of us regret most deeply the illness of Mr. Hackwood, who you would have known so well for many years. We hope that God may spare him to us for many years yet. The realisation of the horrors of this terrible European war, which is now raging with so much wanton destruction and brutality, and with unthinkable consequence, comes home very vividly to us when we hear that it has reached to the very threshold of a house in our village, in the death of Sidney John Burberry, a lad of only 19 last July, who has succumbed to his wounds, another victim sacrificed on the altar of that vile monstrosity, the demigod, the German Kaiser. Poor Jack, as we called him, was well known to all in this village. A lad in the flower of his youth, he was one of the first in this village to obey his country's call. He unhesitatingly, with his bosom chum, Arthur Monk, towed the line, whilst others, with a sense of timidity, held back. Jack had a quick ear and a sure eye, and his intelligence and disposition soon gained him a place in the ranks of the fighting line in the Queen's. Unhappily, the circumstances that surround his death and the place where he was killed are not known. He died on November the 21st, 1914. On the battlefield of life, he only ranked as an ordinary soldier, just doing his bit to stem the onrush of the Uhlans. But in death, he ranks with the highest officer in the army, who has shared his fate. To him, the village owes an everlasting debt of gratitude for taking his part in preventing the people of these islands from the same mutilations as had been meted out to the plucky Belgians.
The following are extracts from some letters to Miss Clark Jones, who has been kind enough to send tobacco from Newdigate to all who have gone to the front or are preparing to go. From G. Batchelor in HMS Vernon. I am at a loss to know how to thank you enough, as I am a poor hand at writing and we do not have much time. We are out in all weathers, sweeping the anchorage at Spithead and the approaches to the harbour, for any chance mines that may have managed to get through. I must close with hopes of a speedy termination of the war, and down with the Kaiser. From Arthur Still, HMS Lynx, 4th Destroyer Flotilla. Thank you for the box of cigarettes, which I was pleased to receive this morning. You may be sure they were very acceptable. From Private R.F. Potter, R.W.S. Just a line to thank you for the cigarettes. It was very good of you, I'm sure, to think of us poor soldiers. Of course, they will be very nice smokes after being packed by such charming young ladies. From G. Monk. I am writing these few lines to let you know I'm getting on fine and I hope you are the same. Thank you very much for the box of cigarettes you sent us. 24 Newdigate men had enrolled as members of the Central Volunteer Training Corps. All new applicants were to apply to Mr. H. Brodie Rowe at Hatchett's. A delightful tea was given on December the 30th by the Miss Goldbergs of the Red House to the children attending day school. In addition to the excellent tea, which needless to say was enjoyed by the dear ones, every child received one or more presents. We are much obliged to the Miss Goldbergs for their great kindness. Very hearty cheers were given when they left the room.
Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. While you below step but to light your fag, smile, boys, that's the style.
1915. The days of January and February 1915, which preceded the action at Neuve Chapelle, were unproductive, and the months passed absorbing thousands of newly trained troops into position. The British public heartened to the news of the so-called victory at the Battle of Dogger Bank on January 24th. In fact, owing to poor communications, the three German battle cruisers had escaped, leaving only the blazing Blücher to her hapless fate.
My dear friends, everyone will feel most deeply the loss the parish has sustained by the death of their old friend Mr. Hackwood, who for so many years had taken the greatest interest in everything connected with the welfare of the church and the parish. Someone remarked how he would have enjoyed entertaining the pilot of a military biplane which landed in the field behind his cottage 2 days before his death. Nearly the whole village turned out to see it. Next day it was ready to fly, and as it flew away, it was as if a dying man went after it in quick succession. He will be sadly missed by all. May I also add how much we sympathise with the friends of the late T.M. Courtley, who received his commission lately and was killed in action on January the 14th. He had probably only reached the front about Christmas Day, so that only a little more than a fortnight was spared to him in the fighting line. He was an unselfish, nice lad, and only 19 years of age, and we can only think of him as better off in God's kingdom above. Before the issue of the next magazine, we shall have entered upon the season of Lent, which I most sincerely hope will be better spent by us than ever before. We are told of the wonderful impression made by the war on our soldiers at the front, of the hundreds and hundreds who receive Holy Communion Sunday after Sunday, and of the prayers offered up in the trenches. Can we say there's been a considerable change for the better over those who are left behind? I feel not. And to me it is a great grief that whilst the war is raging abroad, many here are quite indifferent and care so little. The day of intercession was fairly well observed in the parish, but why could not everyone have made a point of being present at one, at least, at the services to supplicate Almighty God for cessation of this awful war?
We hope Miss Tyler will not mind our inserting the following letter from her relative, for everyone in Newdigate sympathises most deeply with her and her sister in their great affliction. Dear Mr. Bird, so many thanks for your kind sympathy in our sorrow. The best of two generations was what one of the brothers said, but both did their duty and died the ideal death in the best of health and happiness, without suffering, and for home and country, to save us from things too bad to be written. In each case, the infantry had been driven in, and the engineers were sent to retake trenches, which they did, and in that case, they died in the moment of victory. It was the Prussian Guard attacking when 11 German Army Corps were sent against our 1 Army Corps, just the pick of their troops, 550,000 men. We are said to have accounted for 100,000 of them in 4 days' fighting. Yours sincerely, W. L. Tyler.
At 7:15 a.m. on Wednesday the 10th of March, the British guns started ranging. Thus the Battle of Neuve Chapelle commenced. The enemy fire was withering, and the leading companies of the Middlesex and Scottish Rifles suffered heavily. It was initially thought that the Middlesex had captured their objectives, as nobody came back to report. The bodies of this first wave were later found dead in the formations in which they had advanced. By March the 13th, nearly 13,000 officers and men were wounded or dead.
It has been suggested that as a memorial to the late Mr. Hackwood, an altar for the Lady Chapel should be carved by members of the carving class. Mr. Williams, who has had great experience, has been appointed instructor to the wood carving class. Those who desire to join the class should apply to Mrs. Jansen.
April 1915 saw the landing at Gallipoli. The Germans renewed their attacks around Ypres in what was to be known as the Second Battle of Ypres. At 5 p.m. on the 22nd of April, the Germans opened the gas cylinders. The gas gathered into a low-lying cloud of greenish colour, which turned yellow as it streamed upwards. The ghostly fog bank drifted slowly and surely down the wind, remaining thick on the ground. First, the soldiers' eyes began to smart under the influence of the poisonous vapour. Then the deadly chlorine acted on the membrane of their throats, which thickened, causing choking. Finally, the chlorine entered the delicate fabric of the lungs, eating it away with a torturing, burning effect, leaving the helpless victims outstretched in the trenches. Then behind the gas clouds, swarms of German troops came bearing down.
First, let me thank you most heartily for so kindly giving me your offerings at Easter. Those in church, with 2 cheques sent to me since, amount to over £11. It is very kind of you, and I value your offerings very much.
As the dependents of those who have gone to the front are receiving allotments from their husbands and sons, which are increased by sums from the government, the SSFA, which has done so much for the dependents of Newdigate, will not be able to help in future, except in very exceptional cases.
You've been listening to A Village at War by John Colcutt. You heard the voices of Tina Colcutt as the commentator, Steph Bassett as the war correspondent, Lynn Voronetsky as the home correspondent, and David King as the rector. The programme was directed by John Colcutt and produced in Horsham by Tim Hartnell and David King. Join us tomorrow just after 7 p.m. for the next episode. This was a Suzy Radio production.